This is the Afternoon Brief on High FM with Michael McKenna. Focused reporting, sharp analysis, and the local stories shaping our lives. Daily updates in a fast-paced world.
Welcome back to Weekly Roundup Reboot. Now, this is a segment where we unpack the biggest stories shaping South Africa, also cutting through the headlines to understand what they really mean for our daily lives. Joining me in studio is our very own Eliezer Enfield. He's a news intern here at High FM. Just some background. This week, we're looking at three stories that couldn't be more different, but all raise important questions about the country we're building. Now, we'll discuss the alarming state of Johannesburg's public transport system, also where the government deserves credit for finally clearing thousands of school pit toilets. Is there more to the story than meets the eye? And from a sporting perspective, we're going to celebrate a Springbok women's rugby team that's quietly becoming one of South Africa's great sporting success stories. Eliezer, welcome back to the show. Great to have you in studio once again.
Thank you for having me again. It's great to be back.
Okay, let's get the conversations going. Joburg's public transport collapse, a system in crisis. Now, okay, so let's start with Johannesburg's public transport system. The latest reports paint a pretty bleak picture. Just how bad has the situation become?
It's pretty dire. So how we know about this is because recently the city's transport committee tabled a report in front of the council. And what they found is that some of the things that the Auditor General had reported were unfortunately true. So more than half of the metro buses are out of operation. There's 12 stations of the Rea Vaya, which is a bus rapid transit system. If you don't know what a bus rapid transit system is, essentially they call it like a train on wheels, because you take a lane of the road and then it's blocked off to cars. Only the bus can go down it. And more than 12 of those are just sitting idle, even if they've already been built.
Okay, so we're looking at billions spent. Here we go again. Yes. Little to show for it. One of the most shocking revelations you've alluded to that is that completed Rea Vaya stations have stood empty for years, while more than half of the Metrobus fleet isn't operating. So how did we get there? Let's now unpack what exactly is happening here.
If we start with the Rea Vaya, it's been a bit of a disaster since the beginning. Obviously, it was announced around the time of the 2010 FIFA World Cup, and it was supposed to be based on a system they have in South America. Problem is that, as we can see many years later, either many of them aren't open or many are sitting idle. So a lot of this can be traced back to the collapse of the operating company, which goes by the names of Piotrans, in late 2023, after they were put into business rescue. And while there was a bit of a turnaround for a certain period, there, in the last few months, we've seen there's been strikes because it's been 4 months since anyone's actually been paid. That is like a massive issue, not only in terms of accountability, but it's just very inefficient way of running it. When it comes to Metrobus, even the MMC for Transport of Johannesburg has admitted that the majority of their fleet are just not suitable for service anymore.
Okay, so has there been any indication from these companies or individuals as to what plans they've got in place to rectify the situation?
Well, beyond the business rescue, we haven't really seen a proper plan of anything of the sort. It is becoming quite worrying.
I mean, really, who pays the price now? Public transport fails. It's not politicians who suffer. It's us trying to get to work, school, appointments, call it what you may. Now, I mean, what does this collapse now mean for residents and for Johannesburg's economy? What are we facing now?
As you said, the people who suffer the most from this are those who can't afford anything else. So the residents, and not only that, but the poorest of residents. What's happened is many of them have been forced to take taxis, which are not only more dangerous, because part of this crisis is the absolute state that Johannesburg roads are in, but also they've been charged more. So not only is their life at risk here, but they also, there's money that they're spending on transport that could be used for more productive means.
Okay. Looking at the situation as you've outlined it, one can always leverage from an example of a successful public transportation model, looking at Jerusalem's light rail as an example of what's possible. Is this simply about money, or is it ultimately a leadership and governance problem? And how does this example of Jerusalem's light rail, how can it contribute to fixing this issue?
So it is about money, but not only that, it's definitely about not only governance and leadership, but also ambition and vision. If you look at the Jerusalem light rail, it's an example of not only how a mass transit system can effectively move people around, but also how it can effectively be used as a vehicle for urban renewal. Because I don't know how many people have been, but I had the privilege of going 2023 to Israel, and we spent the weekend in Jerusalem. And I wasn't there before, but one of the main stations is the Jaffa Street station. And before that, the Jaffa Street used to be quite a narrow road. So it used to be quite a claustrophobic, sort of polluted road where all the cars would go down. What they've done with that now is that the entire road's been closed off to cars, and it's just the light rail that comes down. On each side, there's businesses and like restaurants now. It's being pedestrianized. So it's like sort of a public space where people can just enjoy themselves as opposed to something negative. And I think that South Africa, especially in Johannesburg, we've got so many places, like you could look in the CBD and the like, even unfortunately into some of the suburbs where we need like a sort of form of urban rejuvenation. And like something like this might be quite expensive, but we could kill two birds with one stone.
Indeed, Jerusalem's light rail example. What do you think of what Eliezer has outlined, and where can improvements happen? We certainly hope they've listened to what Eliezer has suggested and what Eliezer has observed regarding our public transport system, which certainly needs a revamp in more ways than one. Let's take a look at school sanitation upgrades. Progress or the bare minimum? Now, government is saying it's finally cleared the backlog of pit toilets identified back, going back to 2018.
It's a long time.
Now, So it begs the question, is this a genuine milestone or simply something that should have happened years ago and should have accomplished more by now?
It's easy to say, I think, to like have an opinion from outside, but
sure.
On the face of it, we actually have to ask the question of why there even were pit toilets in the first place. I mean, not only an outdated form of sanitation, but it's pretty obvious that no one should have to suffer the indignity of having that happen, especially not children. So it is a milestone to an extent, but it's also a very limited one, because even the minister admitted that they've only managed to eradicate from the specific audit from 2018, and that even since then, some other schools have developed new problems, or otherwise there's schools that they missed in 2018 also.
But, you know, the question begs. I mean, the work isn't over. Let's just elaborate on that. Whilst those identified schools have been addressed, we've also heard that other schools are still facing these sanitation challenges. So what should government's priorities be from here? Where should their focus be right now?
So they mustn't stop until every single school in the country is safe for the country's children. So a good idea would obviously be to do a new audit to see which ones they missed. And also, there were reports that even in the places where they were replacing these toilets, that the new contractors were not meeting even like standards and things like that. It is a problem where even if we fix one department, such as the National Department of Basic Education, you still have to deal with provincial departments, things like that.
Just as a matter of interest, which schools, which provinces are mostly affected here, Eliezer, from what you've gathered?
I think it is more, I believe it was the Eastern Cape that was one of the most like non-compliant in terms of the like new issues. I need to check that.
Sure. I was just curious, but I mean like also beyond infrastructure, when we talk about school sanitation, we're really talking about children's dignity, health, safety. So how important is it that we can keep this issue in the public conversation and spotlight until every learner has access to safe facilities?
It's of paramount importance because, of course, not only is it disgusting, but we've also had cases where people, like pupils, have tragically drowned in the latrines. So it's not only just like safety, but literally we have children's lives on the line here.
Sure. As we begin to wrap up our our week roundup, an historic victory looking at the Springbok ladies from a sporting perspective now. The Springbok women have secured their first win over the USA in 15 years. So how significant is this result for women's rugby in South Africa?
It's a very big milestone for women's rugby. Of course, the Springbok women have been building for like the last few years. So this wasn't like a full-strength USA side. They didn't have their biggest stars, so no Ilona Maher or anyone like that. I hope that's how you pronounce her name. But even so, the last time we played them, I believe it was something like 38-17 in favor of the Americans. So you can see how the like balance of power is like shifted.
Sure. Sways the brain. I mean, yes. Seems to be having a remarkable impact on the team. Let's just look at that closely. What changes have you noticed? Why do they suddenly look like genuine contenders on the international stage? Where have they improved? What tactics or what, shall we say, added incentives, you could put it that way, or tactics have they added to their style of play?
Before Sways came, it was very hard to identify whether or not they had an actual game plan. It sounds like an exaggeration, but if you see, like, saw any of how they used to play, they were very reliant on the fact that we had powerful forwards and that we were very physical. So basically the cornerstones of any Springbok team. Mm-hmm. But what Sways did is he added an attack to that. So he was from 2018 to 2019, right before that World Cup, he was the attack coach for the men's Springboks. So much of today's sets as you can be attributed to that. So he brought that sort of more flatter passing and things like that to the Springbok woman. The other thing is he's obviously changed the culture. You can see before they were kind of had like a happy to be here sort of attitude. And now they're starting to develop that winning attitude. Yeah.
Do you think the performances now are like this, are finally changing public perception? You know, look at the Springbok women compared to the Springboks not receiving the same attention as the men's team. What is your take on that?
There is still a massive gap between the two. I mean, it's not really fair necessarily because obviously the men have many more resources.
Sure.
It's only just announced like a professional league for women in South Africa and rugby. But slowly they've climbed. So I think Springbok women are currently sitting at 10th in the world, which sounds low, but just being in the top 10 at the moment is a big step from where they were. And I think slowly people have started like recognizing what they're doing.
Sure.
We still have quite a lot of work to do in terms not only of advertising, but also in South Africa, you have to have some big wins if you want to get people to come on board.
Liz, it's been great having you in studio, but before I let you go, quick fire round. One of today's three stories, which do you think will have the biggest long-term impact on us, and one thing to watch out for, that one story you'll be keeping a close eye on for over the next week?
So it's a toss-up between the school toilet story and the public transport. But I think the public transport edges it out just because it's just so many different effects on everyone's lives.
Sure. Thanks for joining us, Eliezer,
for
another edition of Weekly Roundup Reboot from Johannesburg's struggling transport network to safer schools and a Springbok women's team giving us plenty to cheer about. It's been another week, which has reminded us South Africa is never short of stories that matter, or the rest of the world for that matter. And we'll be back next week to unpack the headlines, provide context, and also help make sense of the news shaping our country.